You're listening to Amud Fechazara, Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches, Pesachim, Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis. So we're going to start at the bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. So we are three lines from the bottom, and we're still going back and forth, trying to bring various proofs to either Abaye or Rava, whether the first girsa of their machlokas or the second one regarding their machlokas. In a case regarding kavana hana that comes bal karcha, and the discussion about whether their machlokas is whether it's an efshar or lo efshar miskavein lo miskavein. So the Gemara now has a proof. This is going to be an attempt to prove the shita of Rava. Rava says that it is aser, and this is according to the second version of Rava's opinion, which is that in a case where it's lo efshar, meaning there's no alternative option, and even so, if you have kavana, it's going to be aser if there's kavana here. So let's take a look. Tashma, we learned in the Braisa, hachnisa lirivka, he brought it into a rivka. So Rashi fills us in over here. This is regarding egla arufa. A calf that, and a rivka is a kupla, it's like a couple, or really koshen arba paros biachad, says Rashi. Basically, like a thing of like four cattle together. And basically, the hechnisa is that they bring a cat, the person, the owner of the cows, brings a calf to its mother cow that's in this group of cows that are bound together and are plowing together. Or threshing, really. So the calf can't be used as an egla rufa if it has done work, meaning if you have used it for threshing purposes. Now over here, this calf is being brought into its mother so that it can nurse while the mother is threshing, while it's like trampling over these a board with grains under it or something like that. And what's happening, as a byproduct of this animal being there, is that the calf ends up threshing. So is this considered halachically threshing that it would invalidate this egel from being an egla rufa? So chnisa l'rivka, vidasha, and then ends up threshing, kshera, it's actually still good. Bishvil shatinik vitidosh, if he does it, he brings it to the rivka for the purpose of nursing, but also because he wants it to thresh, psula, it invalidates it. So vaho hachadulo efshar v'kamachavein v'ktani psula. So says the Gemara in defense of Rava over here, it's a case of it's not efshar otherwise, right? You need the calf to be able to nurse from the cow here. And over here, we said that he has the intention of it threshing. So this is and it's possible. So it sounds like efshar and lo miskavein is possible, as Rava said. The Gemara responds, no, shani hasam, there it's different. Dechsiv asher lo uvadba, mikol makom. The pasuk says regarding the glarufa that asher lo uvadba, that it was not worked. Mikol makom, meaning in any situation, any type of work. And over here, work was done, right? Even if you didn't necessarily force it to work, but work was done with it, and therefore, right, it threshed, and therefore it is invalidated. So the Gemara says, hold on, yahachi afilu reisha nami. Hold on, but then if that's true, then the reisha should also be a problem, right? The reisha, it also threshed. Meaning it looked like the reisha and the seifa, the only difference was the kavana. So don't respond to me and tell me, no, well, the pasuk says any type of work that's done, uvad, mikol makom, the reisha was a case where it didn't work and just there wasn't the kavana there. And that's what changed it. So we have to explain the ratio and the safe, what's going on here. So the Gemara says, Halo Damya, no, it's not similar, right? Or it's only similar to Halo Dela Damya Ella no. It's hard to read it. This is not similar except for Ella Laha for this. Meaning like this is really how you're supposed to understand it. We have a Mishnah or a Braisa, I think it's a Mishnah in Para. This is referring to the Parah Aduma, though Rashi points out that there are certain halachos, Parah Aduma also, in order for it to be a Parah Aduma, it can't have done work, and there are certain halachos the Gemara and Sota learns and, you know, mixes and matches between Para Aduma and Egla Arufa. So, but this, even though we're talking about Para Aduma for the moment, but it also applies to Egla Arufa. So, Shachan Aleha Of, if a bird rests on the calf, right? So there's a bird resting on it. Ah, does that mean it's considered as having carried a load? So the Gemara says Kshera. The Mishnah says Kshera. Allah leha zachar. But if a male came upon the female egel or para, so psula, that invalidates it. So if a bird sits on the back, it's fine. But if a male comes upon the female, then the female is invalidated for the service. So my time, what's the reason for that? We ask on this Mishnah. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa answers, Iksiv avad v'karinan avad ada avid ba'ihu. If the pasuk would have said avad, that he worked it, and we would read it, you know, the kri and ksiv would match, he worked it. So we would say, the only thing that invalidates this, the Egla Rufa or the Para Aduma, the only thing that invalidates it is to Avid Ba Ihu, if he actively makes it work. Iksiv Uvad, but if the Pasuk would have said Uvad, the Kri on Uvad, and we would read it Uvad, meaning if the Kri and the Ksiv were both Uvad, so Afilu, meaning that means it was worked, and if it would say it was worked, and we would read it as the animal was worked, so Afilu Mela Nami, then even if the work was done in any way, whether he consented or not, he was part of this or not, he meaning the owner, it would invalidate it. Hashadiksiv avad v'karinan uvad, but since the pasuk says, right, the way we read it, the ksiv is ayin beis dalid, so it looks like you read avad v'karinan uvad, but we have a mesora that the kri is uvad dumya de avad. So it's kind of like this hybrid. Right, the fact that the kri and the ksiv, so we don't just read it as the kri, or we don't just read it as the ksiv, but we say, look, it's a little bit of both. It's uvad dumi da avad. It's something that was worked. So if it was worked, even if you didn't actively, you know, make it work, but it has to be similar to as if you made it actively made it work. Ma avad denichale af uvad denichale. Just like when he makes it work. He it's good for him, that's why he did it. So too, if it's like something that's good for him, even if he didn't actively make it work, that would count. So when it comes to the case of the bird going on top of it, that's not nichale. He doesn't care if there's a bird sitting on his calf, that doesn't count. However, when the male comes upon the female, so that's actually good for him because it comes impregnated and then he has more calves to work with it, and that's beneficial for him. So That's the distinction in this Mishnah, and we could say the same thing for what we quoted on the previous Amud. Is that when he's what's his kavana? Is it nicha for him? Does he actually care about it? So in this case where he showed that he really wanted it, so this shows that this doesn't teach us like a din necessarily in kavana in general, but rather that the pasuk says. Avad, it's red uvad, and that it shows that there's something about it being nicha, that the work is that will invalidate the animal is work, whether he actively did it or not, is work that is nicha to him, but doesn't teach us in general about the requirement the power of kavana to invalidate something, to make it something usher. Toshma, last proof. This one's actually going to be according to the first girsa in the Machlokes, and this is challenging Rava's sheet, as we'll see in a moment. Rava over there said that Rava said if it's efshar and it's lomaskavin, it's usher, even according to Rabbi Shimon, right? According to the first. Right, you have two versions of the Machlokas. The first version of the Machlokas Abaye and Rava is that they argue about what Rabbi Shimon would say, that in a case where it's efshar, where it's possible to avoid the situation, v'lo miskaven, and you don't have kavana for it. I'm not reading the Gemara right now. I'm just giving you the intro to this next proof. So if it's efshar and you didn't have kavana, it's aser. And Rava says even according to Rabbi Shimon, who typically follows kavana, even Rabbi Shimon And you normally Rabbi Shimon says that there's no kavana, it's fine. But over here, Rabbi Shimon would agree. Taina's Rava. But let's see. Tashma. Aveda lo yishta, right? If you have a lost object, it's like a blanket or it's a cloth or clothing. Lo yishtachena lo agabe mitav lo agabe magod. Litzarcho, right? You're not allowed to spread it out over your table. You can't, or your bed. You can't make it like a, you know, for like a bed sheet. You can't hang it on a pole on a peg for his own benefit. Aval shotcha litzarcha, al gabe mitav al gabe magod. But if you need to stretch it out, Rashi says to avoid like moths and other damage, so you need to spread it out, shake it out a little bit. So then you could definitely spread it over, you know, a bed, or you can hang it on a peg. But meaning you could use it for your own for its purposes, but not for your own. And then the Mishnah even says, "Nizdanu lo orchin." If you have guests, lo yishtachena lo al gabe mitav lo al gabe magod. Bein letzorcha, bein letzorcho. So if you have guests there, then you can't spread it out, even if you want to do it for its sake. You want to spread it out because you want to avoid the moths. But if you're going to spread it out, it's going to be like something that's like, you know, impressing the guests. So you're going to be getting benefit from it. So what happens over here is... I'm sorry. Yeah. So then over here, you're going to be you're getting benefit from it, and that's a problem. So clearly, over here, I'm sorry. This is not going to necessarily refute that version of Rav. I'm sorry, but let's finish it anyway. So this seems to be a case where it is it's not Efshar. You need to spread it out, and it's not Efshar, and there's Kavana. And that's going to be a problem. So Shani Hasam, no, over there it's different. It has nothing to do with kavana, but rather dekalila, right? Just to clarify, that's like kavana to steal, right? Because right, to benefit from it, even though it's not yours. Rashi says, in Nizdanu lo orchin v'chulei, Alma, we see afalgav dilitzorachahu, even though it's for its own purpose, its own sake. Vainu lo efshar, it's a case of lo efshar, ho miskavin liskabid b'shachavero, but since he's having kavana that it should be honored in front of his friend, b'orchin chashiv le'gazov aser. So it's efshar, and it's mechavin, and therefore, and it's clearly the Mishnah says it's aser. So the Gemara responds, no, that's not actually what's going on here. The shiny house, and it's different over there. Dekalile, because it dekalile, or it's like burning it. When you spread it out in front of the guests, you're like you're destroying it. Why? Imishum in abisha, could be because of ayin hara. When you give this extra attention to it, it somehow it's going to be damaged. Imishum ganve, or because it might be stolen. So when you spread it out and you show it off, you're actually doing damage to it. So it has nothing to do with, you know, you're benefiting and you have kavana. It has nothing to do with that. There's a separate concern that, you know, you're causing it to be damaged by spreading it out in front of guests, and therefore you should not do that. Toshma. This is the final proof, and this is to challenge what we said was the opinion in Rav Rava, that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that if it's Efshar and Lo Miskave and Lo Miskave, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's Aser. So let's see. Tashma, that's the Mishnah in Kilay. Mochri Ksus Mochrin Kedarkan. People who sell clothing can sell in their normal way. Ubilvash Lo Miskavin, which is the people who would sell clothing would often wear it to model it. And they're wearing kilayim, which are really typically or maybe it's shatnez over here actually. But whatever it is, it's something that's usher. Oh, sorry, shatnez is kilayim. Sorry. So they're wearing shatnez over here, but they're not wearing it for the purpose of wearing it. They're wearing it for the purpose of showing it off. So it says that you're allowed to bilvach lois kavin bechama b'necham b'necham, as long as they don't have kavana in, you know, that in on a hot day that's protecting them from the sun, or that, you know, in a winter day it's protecting them from the cold or the rain or whatever it is. So it says that they're allowed to wear it, but they should have kavana. They should make sure not have kavana that, you know, that they're benefiting from it. Vatsnuin, and the over here it doesn't mean modest people. Over here it means people who are, Rashi says, Purushin, Mizrachin, Minachior. They try to distance themselves from bad things. So people are basically extra pious. Mavshilin lacharehen, they like lift it up over them, b'makel, on a stick. Basically, they had like a stick behind them or something like that, and so they're not actually wearing it. I'm not sure exactly what it looked like, but maybe it held it in front of them, but they weren't actually, or behind them, and it wasn't actually, they weren't actually wearing them, but it could serve as modeling. So over here, v'ha'hacha de'efshar lema'avid ketsenuin. So over here, it's efshar. There was an alternative because they could do like the tsenuin. Nevertheless, v'chila mechavein shari. And nevertheless, without kavana, it would be permitted. So over here, we have a case of efshar and no kavana, and it's permitted. Now, obviously, this is according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda would not permit this. But we see over here that Rabbi Shimon holds that efshar and lo mechavein is permitted. That's in accordance with Abaye, at least in the first Gersa, and against Rava. So, tiyufta leman demasni lishnakama de Rava, tiyufta. This is a tiyufta, it's a refutation to the opinion that holds in the lishnakama, the opinion of the lishnakama, in accordance with Rava, so it's rejected. So, Rava, according to the Rava within the first version of their machlokas is refuted. So if we hold like the first version, then we would pass in like Abaye. If we hold like the second version, it's inconclusive at this point in the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara. We had a little bit of a tangent discussing Hana, and there's still a little bit of a discussion of Hana here, but the Gemara is going to go back to analyzing our Mishnah. So we said that you're not when the Chametz is Aser, so you're not allowed to use it to ignite a to light an oven, burn the Chametz and make that light up, get the oven started. So Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Tanur Shahasiku Baklive Arlo Bakashin Shel Kila Yakarem. So if you have a Tanur, an oven that was heated up by the shells of Orla, the peels of Orla, Rashi points out, are considered Orla, just like the fruit themselves, and Asr Bahana, or with the straw of Kilayim, Kilaya Kerem, so meaning things that are Asr Bahana, and they were used to heat up the oven. So Chadash Yutatz. If it's a new oven, so it needs to be destroyed. And Yashan Yutzan. But if it's an old oven, it could just cool it off, and then after it cools off, you can use that oven. The reason Rashi explains, Chadash Yutatz, Rashi says, Shahari al yidei hesek zeh shel orla nigmar miskayim kulo. Because the first igniting of the oven actually helps form the oven and make the oven, and therefore the whole oven exists now due to this orla or these kilayim. So it's like the oven is like a product of this aserhan, of this something that's aser bahana, and therefore the whole oven has to be smashed. However, if it's an old oven, so this igniting doesn't really make so much of a difference, and therefore you can't cook in it now, but because the fire that's going would be because of something that's aser bahana, but you can at least let it cool off and then use the oven afterwards. So that's what we say so far. So afa bo asapas, but if you baked in it pas, right? So there's a fire going now, an aser bahana fire, and bread was cooked in it. So Rebbe Omer hapas asura, v'chachamim omrim hapas muteres. Rebbe says the bread is aser, and the Chachamim say that the bread is mutter. The reason for that, Rashi says, that Rabbi Omer Papas Asura is the Yeshava Chatze Yisr Papas, because there is benefit, there's right improvement in the wood of the Asur wood in the bread. So like the bread has within it Shevach of the Atze Yisr. It has Asur Hana improvement. The Chachamim say, they hold, it's right in the next Rashi, Savri ain shevach eitzim bepas mamish v'hu adin deleis lehu nami chadash, right? So we'll just say this first part, that they don't see there's clearly usser wood within the bread. It's something that's not recognizable that there's the improvement was aser bahana, and therefore they're not going to aser the bread. Now the Mishnah of Brisa continues, Bishla agabi gachalim, if it was baked over coals, it was cooked over coals, so divrei kol mutter. Everyone says these are mutter. Even Rebbe would agree that the bread is mutter. Rashi says, Bishla agabi gachalim, divrei kol apas muteris vafil the Rebbe. Why? Dichi ishani pas me iser. Because when the bread benefited from the Isser, kvar kolo batal, because the Isser was basically already non-existent. V'gachalim itzricha lei delotema akati yisura beina, right? Because when it's gachalim already, we can't really recognize it anymore. It's so unrecognizable. And I don't want to say indirect, but like you don't see it be'en. You don't see that it's actually there. It's only coals, and therefore that improvement is not going to be recognizable in the bread. And even Rebbe would agree that it is mutter. Now, that's the end of the brisa. Now we're going to present a seeming contradiction of a hatanya, but we learned in a brisa. Hatanya ben chadash ben yashan yutzan. We learned in a brisa that whether it's chadash or it's yashan, yutzan, you can let it cool off. So hold on, our brisa, the first brisa we read, said that if it's chadash, you have to break it. If it's yashan, if it's an old oven, you can let it cool off. This brisa says that either way, you can just let it cool off. So that's a stira. So the Gemara says simple, lo kasha harebi v'harabanan. This is Rebbe, this is the Rabbanan, right? Rebbe was in our brisa, Rebbe was the strict opinion, and he also forbade the bread that was cooked in the oven with this fire, and the Chachamim were lenient, and they did not forbid the bread, and therefore over here also we have when we have a stira, one opinion, one brisa says that a new oven needs to be broken. The other one says the new oven can just be let. You can let it cool off. So we assume that this is Rebbe and this is the Rabbanan. That's the machlokas. That's what we want to say at first. But the Gemara says, no, hold on. How do you know that? Amor de shemat le the Rebbe mishum de yeshevach etzim bapas. We don't just say just because he's strict here, he's strict there. There's a reason for his strict shita. He holds that the reason he forbids the eating of the bread is that he says the shevach etzim, the improvement of the wood is in the bread. The Rabbanan don't see it that way. They don't view it as that. They say there's nothing actually in the bread, and that's why they matter it. But that's what Rabbi holds. He holds that there's shevach etzim in the bread. Zev is a gore mishamatle. But who says that he holds this and this cause it? So this and this cause it is the svara to aser the new oven that was lit with something that's aser bahana, right? So that new oven that now has to be broken, has to be smashed instead of just letting it cool off, which is what we saw in the first brisa. So that's based on the concept of zev zeh gorim, that there are two different factors that cause something to take place. One, you know, that there's a mutter element and there's an usser element, and that they combine and make something usser. So that's it, only if you hold zev zeh gorim. This is what we're trying to get at. I want to explain this outside. Only if you hold of zev zeh gorim. Would you, and I'll explain that more in a moment, would you hold that the new oven, which is ignited with something usser, has to be smashed? And says the Gemara, we don't necessarily see that Rebbe holds Zev Zagorim. We see that he holds Yesh Shevach Eitzim Bapas, but we don't know that he holds Zev Zagorim, so why are you attributing this Shita to Rebbe? We don't see anywhere that he holds that. So what is this concept of zev zeh gorim? So Rashi says, if this is in this look a little bit of a longer Rashi, Emor deshmat le'rebi de'yeshevach etzim bapas. So in a few lines down, I want to see where exactly he explains this concept. Okay. So it says, he says that the oven itself, this is like the second to last line of that Rashi, three lines from the bottom of Rashi, first wide line of Rashi, that the oven itself is not being eaten. And what happens is that the bread that's baked here is being finished through Isser and Heter. Atze Isser, Shagamarasa Tsunor, Va'atze Heter, Shagamarasa Pas. That, right, because, meaning like, by when it comes to future things being made, right, the reason that the oven it has to be destroyed is that the oven presumably can't be used for future, you know, future bread making, even after it cools off. Why not? So let's play it out. So the oven was first heated up. It's a chadash oven, tanur chadash, and it was first heated up with something with orla peels, let's say. So now this oven is made through iser. So that it was heated up through iser. It's benefited from usser fire, and now it cooled off, and now you're baking new bread in there with totally mutter wood, you know, wood that you just took off your tree, no problem, a 5-year-old tree, 6-year-old tree, whatever it is. And now the bread is being heated up. So it's being heated up in an oven with a mutter fire in an oven that was made with an usser fire. So now it's like the bread is being made from a mixture of good fire and bad fire, from good wood and bad wood. And now, what? So how do we view this? So the concept of zev zegorem is that the new fire and the fire that originally fired up the oven, which was usser, combines and is usser, and therefore, since it's usser, you have to break the oven. That's the shita that we saw in our brisa, that a new oven that's heated up with something that's usher bana has to be broken because zev zegorem. And now the Gemara says we don't really know that Rebbe holds zev zegorem. We know he's strict in the case of of bread being baked because he holds yitz shevach etzim bapas. But we don't know he holds zev zegorem. So the Gemara concedes and says, "Yeah, Ella Lokasha, rather Hal Rabbi Eliezer, Hal Rabbanon." So this strict sheet is actually Rabbi Eliezer. The Brisa that says either way, Chadash Yashan, you can just let it cool off. That's the Rabbanon. And the strict shita that is not we can't necessarily say it's Rabbi, but we can say it's Rabbi Eliezer. Well, how do we know it's Rabbi Eliezer? So, hi, Rabbi Eliezer. Which Rabbi Eliezer are you talking about? Ilema Rabbi Eliezer de Sa'or. If you're going to suggest Rabbi Eliezer de Sa'or, and I'll just give you a heads up, that the Gemara is going to say, is going to quote this Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer talking about a case of leaven, and the Gemara at the top of the next Amud is going to say how Abaye explains it, and the Gemara is going to say, if you're going to say it's like Rabbi Eliezer, the way Abaye explains it, well, maybe it's not really the way Abaye explains it. Maybe the way Abaye explains it is wrong. But let's just understand, and we're going to stop at that point. So let's just understand this sheet, how we let's sorry, 1 second, just need to stop the recording. Yeah. So let's just understand the Havamina, and then tomorrow's Amud Amir Tashem. Thursday we'll challenge it, but we're gonna stop with this Havamina. So this Havamina is going to be a Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer, where we might be able to see from Rabbi Eliezer that he holds Zev Zegorem, and then he could be the strict Shita that says that a new oven fired up with something that's Asher Bahana has to be broken instead of just letting it cool off. So let's see this Mishnah. So it's not, we learned in the Mishnah, Sa'or shel chulin v'shel truma shenaf lusoch isa. If you have leaven of chulin and leaven of truma that fell into dough, and so that if you would just have, if you would have leaven of truma, which will make dough rise, so that would fall into chulin, like non-truma. So since the truma would be what made it rise, it's going to make the whole thing truma. Now, what if it wasn't just truma? What if you had leaven of truma and leaven of chulin falling into this dough? And each amount of leaven that fell in, the chulin leaven and the truma leaven that fell into this chulin dough, not one of them on their own is enough to make it, to make the dough rise, to make it turn into chametz. Vinitstarfu, and then they combine the chamtso, and they made the dough rise. So now we have, now the dough has risen. It was heavily impacted by this leaven, and the leaven, some of it was truma, and some of it was chulin. Now, if it's truma, then only a kohen can now eat this dough. If it's not considered truma, then you know, anybody can eat this dough. And also, there are other various halachos that, you know, it's considered like truma. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achar achron aniba. I go after the acharon, whatever was put in last. And we'll explain that in a moment. The chachamim omrim, bein shenafal iser lechatchila, bein shenafal iser lebasof, liolam eino oser. Whether the, it doesn't matter on the order. Whether the iser fell in at the beginning, or the iser fell in at the end, it's not going to make it usser, and basically he's not going to consider this to be truma, ad shehebo kedei lahachmitz, unless it had enough in it to cause it to chametz, to be chametz. Meaning, basically they say we don't view the saor of chulin and the saor of truma to combine. They say we don't care about the order that it happens in. We only care is, did the truma, or if let's say it was something that was usser, have enough in it? And it could be if the truma is usser itself, that might also be a factor that would make it something that we can't use. I don't know why they use the lashon of isser. I'm not sure why they use the term isser. Could be it's just a borrowed lashon, or it could be that it's like maybe, I don't know, became tummy or something like that. Whatever it is. But they say that we only will consider it usser, we'll only consider it as having an impact if there's enough leaven to do the job on its own without the chulin. So basically what they hold is, they don't hold zev zeh gorim. They don't believe that the sa'or of chulin, the sa'or of truma, can work together and cause it to happen. That's why they say it's not usser. Now, Vamar Abaye, and Abaye explains, Abaye says, Lo shanu ela shakodem vasilik esa iser. He says that when Rabbi Eliezer said, I followed the last one, whatever came in last, he only holds that if shakodem, if someone got up vasilik esa iser and then removed the iser, avalokodem vasilik esa iser, usser. But if he did not take it out, meaning like when does he say follow the last one? That's if like let's say the truma fell in, and then you take out the sa'or of truma, you take it out before it really had an impact, and then you put in the so now whatever's in last, so you follow that. So now if you took out the sa'or of truma and the sa'or of chulin is there, so then he doesn't. Then he says I follow the last one. However, if he did not take out anything, and they're both in there. So let's say the chulin truma fell, the saor of truma fell in first, and then the saor of chulin fell in. So it's going to be usser. I don't care which one happened. According to Abaye, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't care about the order fully. He only cares about the order if you took out the isser. But if the isser is still in there, or the truma is still in there, so he says, I don't care about the order. It's usser. Alma, says the Gemara, zev zeh goreim, usser. We see that if zev zeh goreim, it's usser. That if we hold, if both of them cause it, if the sor of truma and the sor of chulin are both there, they cause it, and it's usser. So we see that the way Abaye understands Rabbi Eliezer, he holds zev zeh goreim and zev zeh goreim usser, and therefore he indeed can be the opinion in the Braisa that says that a new oven is going, that you, it has to be broken white right away, because whatever you make in the future from that oven, so it's going to be from mutter fire and from usser fire that originally fired the oven, and zev zeh goreim usser. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this and say, how do you know we hold like Abaye? Maybe we hold, you know, maybe there's a different way to understand Rabbi Eliezer, but that's that for now. We'll call it here.